Now, how did they know that? How did they know that I was about to do that? Our parents knew our hearts better than we did. To be aware, to come to the side, to teach the battle of faith, to pray. This is why we bring them to baptism. The question was, do you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, yet that they are sanctified in Christ? We bring them because we confess the need that it's through the blood of Christ alone that they will have fellowship with God in this world and that they are called to live a holy life. And so Job's prayer is centered in two spiritual needs of his children. And those two spiritual needs can be remembered in the words of the familiar hymn, which goes, "Be of sin the double cure, save from wrath and make me pure." He was concerned about sin's guilt and bondage, and he was concerned about a life of holiness in Christ. He offered them and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. He offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For each one, he prayed for the cleansing power of the promised blood of Jesus Christ. That's quite remarkable because Job lived at the time of Abraham. He lived before Moses. He lived before the Old Testament laws were given of sacrifice and of offerings. But nevertheless, he and all the saints, even from Adam on, were well aware, God had already taught clearly, of the need of the remission of our sins in the blood of the perfect Lamb of God. A promised forgiveness to be found alone in Jesus Christ. A repentance, a conviction of that sin, a confession of that sin, and the removal from the heart of the burden of that sin. And so he prayed, "Lord, know the love of God in Jesus Christ. Don't let their hearts become hard and careless. Don't let them curse God in their hearts, dismiss God from their heart. But give them to fear Him, to reverence Him, to love Him, to bring their sins to Him." And he prayed for the purity of the blood of Christ. He sent and he sanctified them. To sanctify is to set apart, to consecrate unto the service of God. It's to be consecrated as one who is a friend of God. He prayed that they be kept from the gripping power, from the defilement of sin through the grace of God. He knew that he could not make them holy. He knew he could not make himself holy. Discipline them. But it is only God, through Jesus Christ, who can rule in the heart of you as a child by the power of the Holy Spirit. What was his concern? His concern was their hearts. Cleanse them, O God, and purify them in the blood of the cross. And he brought them to God by name, pleading God's promises to work this in them. Fathers, we have many concerns for our children, the little ones, the intermediate age, the teenage, and the young adults. We know that as never before, it is such a wicked world and the weight of the responsibilities, and we work hard to supply these physical needs. We put in many hours that are required of us. But this must be our central concern. We must understand that they with us have an old man of sin, and that we are no match for that old man and for Satan. And so we pray, bring them to the cross. Job seems almost vexed by this in a good sense. He rose early in the morning and he said, "It may be. What if? What if?" And so he prays. For he would know no greater pain than to see sin crust, harden the heart of his child. And so the passage is emphasizing to us the fervency and the persistence of Job's prayer. This did Job continually. Now, I've been talking about the fact that we as fathers and families are very, very busy. And there's many things to do if we're going to support our churches and our Christian schools and one another. Many hours required in a family just to care for a family, a large household. It takes much labor. And now we have Job as an example of praying for them, but we might say, well, he had time. I don't. But then we misunderstand Job, that though he was the wealthiest, think of him simply as a retired man who had time on his hands and who finally, with his wealth, was going to enjoy some of these things in life because he deserved them. But he is involved with his family. He understands and is involved with their marriages. He's involved with the people of God, with the church and the kingdom of God. He's involved with his grandchildren. His life was full. So we must not look at Job as simply spending off his wealth somewhere. In the very book, Job's going to refer to the cause of the needy and the children in the streets that he cared for. He has many servants. He has many responsibilities. We must not look at him as simply a man who's relaxed and with no responsibility, but we must look at him here Christ-like. And as fathers, we must desire to be Christ-like. For what do we read of our Master, who was entrusted with all the responsibilities of God's kingdom? We read this. He rose early in the morning and went aside to pray. We must pray fervently and continually for our children. Note with me these characteristics of Job, which was behind these fervent prayers, which made his prayers so fervent. There are three characteristics here. There is, first of all, that Job had an awareness of his children's lives. He was in touch with the life of his children. And it was so that when the days of their feasting were gone about, he kept touch with his children. He was aware of what his children were doing. He was not simply, even when he was gone, it was the children who were living really in his heart. And therefore, if we are to pray for our children, we must be aware of them and in tune with them and not out of touch with our little toddlers when it's easy. And then when they go to school and a little bit more distance happens with us, and then in high school, we must not be out of touch with them, their life and their hearts. We don't leave these things simply to our wives. But prayer arises out of awareness, a love awareness of our children. Number two, this prayer, this fervency arose out of personal involvement. Job sent and sanctified. He communicated with his children. The point is that his children knew he was doing this for them. This wasn't off in secret. They thought, oh, Dad really does? Dad really thinks that way? Is that how Dad feels about it? No. They knew. And what did they know? They knew that Dad was praying for me. He knew his children. That's the foundation of prayer. We must not simply be informed of all the activities of our children, good activities. Being involved with them in these activities, very good, very good. But we must be involved one-on-one with our children around the throne of grace at your table as a father with your little ones and your teenagers and everybody praying, speaking, and then praying for them and their needs, or praying them with them personally in their needs. And this is also our calling as a grandparent. Many of us have the blessing of having the children come home and alternate weeks, perhaps, with the in-laws coming for dinner. And then we pray as the grandparent. We must pray for them. We pray for the son-in-law. We pray for the daughter-in-law. We pray for the needs of the grandchildren. We prepare even for this prayer because we are occupying the office of priest in our homes, and their needs must be voiced. They must hear it, and it's voiced to the throne of God together in the family. And then specifically, so there's awareness, there's involvement, but then specific. According, he brought offering according to the number of them all. He knew the needs of each child. Here's an analogy of his children. And you will come to know Dallas's personality and Clara. You'll come to know them and her patterns and his strengths and his weaknesses. And you must pray for him, not just secretly during the day for yourself, but before them and each one of your children. Fervent prayer is a prayer that is aware, involved, and specific. We have much to pray for. The form for baptism, this Father, incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ. Father, may they daily follow Christ, especially now with the reproach coming upon the church. We pray, may they joyfully bear their cross and cleave to him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love. We pray, Father, if it be thy will, may they leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and appear before thy throne in glory. We pray, Lord, they must be ready to die. Do we know when our child will die? when all 10 would die at once. He prayed for them. He prayed for them on this issue too, of death and of their soul and of Christ. And then our children grow up and we pray. Little boys and girls, we pray obedience and Christ and kindness and compassion and sharing and tenderness. And then they grow up a little more. And at an earlier age, we begin to pray and talk with them about sexual purity and about the power and consequences of sin. And then we talk to them as they grow up about relationships and spiritual growth. And we incorporate all of these things, their needs, we incorporate them into our prayers. And we realize that we are completely dependent upon God. Prayer will teach us as parents our priority. And our priority is not that they are successful, that they have a peaceful life, not that that would not be a blessing of God. We're not praying simply that they enjoy some of the pleasures that we have enjoyed and the pleasures that they can have yet in this world. If God gives that, nothing wrong with that. That's not what we're focused on. Our priority is Christ, is their heart. And that according to God's great mercy and promise, that they might know Him and the power of His resurrection. And then we must remember, as fathers and as parents, we must remember God's use of this means. You might think your prayers, and we all think that. I don't know of any Christian who does not feel guilty about their prayers and see the weakness of it. Yes, yes. But you need to understand that when you pray out of that love of God for your child, you pray, just you pray as a father. You pray in your home. You do the best you can. You need to understand that this, by God's grace, is a tremendous means for their spiritual good. Did your dad pray for you? You remember that. Did your dad even take you aside and say, son? He pointed out things to you and then he said, now we're going to pray about this. You remember. Jesus prayed, Simon, I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. Simon remembered that. Our prayers are offered on the ground of His holy covenant. Our prayers are offered on that ground as Job speaks of them. In the last verses, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Jehovah, the God of the covenant. That was the basis of his prayer, because God, the I Am, that I Am, had established a covenant with him. And God would be faithful to Job in that covenant. And had taught him that he may bring all of his needs to the throne. And God will hear. And God will answer. God says to us this morning, have not I ordained you as a priest to bring all the needs of your children before me? Be faithful in prayer for the blessing of God upon our children and for the glory of his name in our lives. Amen. Father, we thank thee for thy word this morning. Thy word is precious to us. We thank thee, Lord, for baptism this morning, a sign and a seal to us of the cleansing of the stains of sin and guilt. Wilt thou encourage us? Wilt thou lift us up with joy before thee? That we may, O Lord, now go forward in zeal and in dedication for our family and for our children. We ask again for thy blessing upon these two homes and these two children. Bless them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.